This morning I'm going to speak on whose report will you believe? Someone say, whose report will you believe? Are you a grasshopper? Are you a giant killer? Which one are you? Are you a grasshopper? Are you a giant killer? I'm going to read from Numbers 13:33 on your screen, and I'll read more of that passage in a moment. But there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, who came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And what? And so we were in their sight. Numbers 13:33. Reading from a New Testament verse, Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son. You hear what Paul is saying, Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Romans? He who did not spare his only son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him? How shall not God with Christ freely give us all things? Someone say all things. Dropping down to verse 37, because in all these things, let's say it together, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Give Jesus a shout of praise this morning. Whose report will you believe? I'm in a series on possessing the land. I'll come back after the next 2 weeks for two more weeks before Pastor Tim Sally does the ending of May, but I'm excited about the word this morning. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we welcome your Holy Spirit. Spirit of the Lord, speak to your children in a way that you desire. Whisper into their ears what I do not even say. Thank you for uncommon grace upon my life. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for never deserting me. And thank you for loving these people more than I do, though I love them immensely. Speak to us today, Lord. Let us leave in victory. Let us leave changed. Let us leave knowing we have heard the word of God that changes lives. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Say, I am not a grasshopper. I am not a grasshopper. I am not, Matt said. You see, Moses sent the spies out to spy the land that God had already given them. And he said, go up into the land, see what the land is like, Numbers 13 and 17. It's not on your screen. See whether the people are few or many, strong or weak. God knew exactly what was in the land. Whether they dwell in good or bad, whether their cities are inhabited by this or that, whether the land is rich and poor, and whether there are forests. Be of good courage. Someone say, be of good courage. Someone say, be of good courage. And bring some of the fruit of that land back. Bring some of the fruit. You know, your POV, which is a modern slang. Everyone knows what that means? Point of view. Your point of view matters this morning. God is in charge. What a promise. What a relief. And he invites you to see your life, your potential, your trials, and your problems from his divine perspective. He sees what you can't see. He knows what you can't know. He sees what surrounds you from his divine perspective. He sees what is before you from his divine perspective. And when you understand his POV, you become to know there's more to you than you know, because there is more to God than you ever dreamed possible. Can someone give him a shout of praise this morning? This morning, who have you given the microphone of your life to? Who have you given a mic? A mic amplifies. Austin and I don't need microphones. We've learned that about each other. But a microphone amplifies the volume of what someone is saying. You know, on the internet, there's what's called clickbait. Everyone say clickbait. It's a sensational headline to draw you in and to get you to go to another page. You know, things like this. This 96-year-old man looks 25 because he eats one fruit a day. You won't believe it. Click here to find out. And you tell yourself, I am not clicking there. I don't care what he eats. I'm not doing it. But you do it sometimes. Can I get an amen? Or this man, see what happens when he tries to hug a wild lion out in the forest. And you click there. Come on. Or look at this movie star. Oh, God, look what they look like now. They look decrepit and horrible. Click on it. And you tell yourself, I'm not going to click on that. But you click on that. Then there's those for the women, not the men, of course. Do this once a day and you'll lose 10 pounds a day, which is impossible. Come on, at least for a woman. Can I get an amen? One, these are all legitimate ones. One of the ones I think that are just so stupid is, why did the politician eat a breakfast burrito out of a diaper? Click here to find out. You know what? I'd rather change his diaper than see what he ate out of a diaper. Come on, somebody. Clickbait. Devil's got clickbait too. Listen to me, the voice of the enemy would say, Michael. Listen to me. Pay attention to me. Clickbait is to get you to go away from one page and get you on another page. And that's what the enemy does, to get you off the page of your destiny, your purpose, and get you to go down a route God never wanted you to go down, Josh. To go down a place God never wanted you to go down. The land had been given to Israel. In Hebrews 6, God swore by himself that it was theirs. And what they were supposed to say is, and we'll read more of the context of what's going on here, what they were supposed to say is, this land does not belong to the people in it. It belongs to me. I have a sermon called Get Out of My... Most known across the world for it. Doesn't mean it's my best. It's just most known about it. In fact, I meet people all the time. They'll say, get out of my seat. And I'm like, okay. And they go, no, your sermon. But here's the deal. I think this sermon hit me today. Get out of my mind. Get out of my words. Get out of my heart. Get out of clickbaiting me to try to get me. What I need to say to the wannabe gods of worry, I don't belong to you. Fear, I don't belong to you. Shame, I don't belong to you. I don't belong to anything. God has given me promises that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Someone say amen. Amen. So this is the context. They went out to spy the land. They came to, and we'll get to what's on your screen in a moment, but let me set a precedence. They came to Eshcol, and when they came there, they cut down a branch with a cluster of grapes. See the beautiful grapes down here, but they were super big grapes. They also brought pomegranates and figs. They're going to have a little fruit buffet. Come on, amen for a fruit buffet. And then when they got back to Israel, the grapes, and I meant to bring a pole, but it was by the front door and I didn't bring it. Anyway, they were carrying a pole and the grapes were so big, two men had to carry them. They were so huge. God was giving them context for, I'm going to give you something so good, so mighty, so awesome. But all of a sudden, the spies came back and said, we saw the land. It is good. It flows with milk and honey. Nevertheless, the people that live there are very strong, and we saw the descendants of the giant. Caleb tried to quiet down all the people from Moses, and he said, let's go up at once and take possession, for we are well able. Someone say, we are. Well able. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go against these people. They are stronger than we. That was the grasshopper speaking. And then they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, spying out. The land which we've gone to is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw are men of great stature, which means giants. Everyone say giants. And we saw them. They come from giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, Numbers 13, 31 to 33. And so we were in their sight. As I said last week, no one interviewed a giant and said, how do you see this? And I want to tell you something. You better be careful who you interview about your destiny. You better be careful who you give a microphone about who you are. Your enemies are never going to seek to build you up. Do you think I'm a loser? They're going to say, yes, you are. People who are not in faith, people who are not of God's camp, will agree with your woe is me, your deep, dark depression. But people of God will lift you up and build you up. Can I get an amen? A point from last week, remember, it would be gut-wrenching on your screen to realize that our insecurities could blind us to what God has already promised us. Israel forgot that they belong to the creator and the sustainer of the earth, right? When they didn't see it as possible, we're going to get you to say, what does it have to do with me? I'm getting there. Hold with me. Deuteronomy 26 and 8. This is the thing. It says, and the Lord brought them out, Israel, someone say Israel, out from Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Mighty hand, a hand that was full of might, with great signs and wonders. Deuteronomy 26 and 8. But what they were saying is, he did all that, but he can't do this. He brought us up out of Egypt, but he can't take us in to what looks uncrossable. He can bring us out of something, but he can't take us into something. It looks like God did something mighty, but he can't take us into something else. My husband had a dream, and he fulfilled both these. He had many kingdom dreams. He wanted to take both of his daughters to a concert. He took Christine the last 4 years to see Black Jacket Queen, and they loved that. But many years ago, he took Courtney to see U2. And Christine was such a little girl. She was so excited about it because all she heard was U2. But she said, Mommy, I want to go to the YouTube concert. I think YouTube is wonderful. And I said, honey, it's not YouTube, it's U2. Come on, somebody. But Bono penned the words that if I start singing it, you'll be singing it all day. I have climbed the highest mountain. I have run the fields only to be with you. I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled city walls only to be with you. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I still have not found. He goes on, Bono says, it's an anthem of his doubt and his faith. But he goes on to say something. He said, he carried my cross and my shame, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I think it'd be a tragedy if you and I today had experienced salvation of Jesus Christ and we still feel like we have not found him and we still feel like we have not found a place. But I have good news for you this morning. This is not a message of gloom, but this is a message of you can still find Christ. He is everything you've ever been looking for. Someone give him a shout of praise this morning. It's kind of like you and I saying, you know, Jesus saved me. It was in a service, or it might have been kneeling down on my floor. My good friend Denita that runs a huge orphanage in Haiti got saved by herself on her own floor. I people didn't think I would ever come back to Christ, but it was in that moment I came back to him. I want to tell you something. Hell didn't want you to come to know Christ. When you confessed Jesus as Savior, hell was sure. There is a hell. It is not built for you. It is built for Lucifer and dark angels. No one is supposed to go to hell. Everyone has the opportunity to say, I repent of my sins and I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that's your ticket into heaven. Somebody give him a praise. That same power, that same grace that saved you from hell and heaven began to sing a song that one of our friends wrote, who I won't mention. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. And heaven began to declare it, and hell began to shatter because they just knew they could take you into the regions of the damned, but they cannot pluck a soul out of the hand of God Almighty, and we are to be forever grateful for that. And the same power and the same grace that saved you is the same grace that sustains you every day that you live. It's the same power that keeps you. Well, he did all that, but he can't do this. In the early days of Harvest, we used to sing a song. He didn't bring us out this far to take us back again. He brought us out to take us into the promised land. Though there be giants in the land, I will not be afraid. He brought us out to take us into the promised land. And I've got good news for you today. The Lord brought you out of something to take you into victory, to take you into peace, to take you into joy, to take you into healing. You are children of the Most High God, and those promises are yours. So there's two mentalities. There's the grasshopper mentality and the giant killer. They went into Eschol. It's spelled E-S-C-H-O-L, but in the Hebrew, it's Eschol pronounced. So huge, so big, they had to carry those big grapes in. What God was trying to say is, I want to show you what's before you. This is yours. Now, when we speak of the land for us is the promises of God. We're not looking for a piece of land, though God may give you a piece of land. We're looking for the promises of God that are yes and amen in who? Jesus Christ. We're looking for that dream of our child being off drugs. Can I get an amen? We're looking for that dream of our family being restored and all the whosoever's coming home. Can I get an amen? Amen. We have that dream of healing in our body. We have that dream of a business taking off. We have the dream of making a difference in this world. We have a dream of our lives mattered for Christ and for this world. And God says, it's yours. It's yours for the taking. Someone say amen. Number one on your screen, there's a good report and a bad report that is available to put your faith in. Whichever one you've been feeding the most will be the loudest and most believable. Whichever one you're turning the volume up on. If you're turning the volume up on a bad report, what negative things your mind is saying to you, the enemy is saying to you. See, we're like the spies. We're giving new glimpses in the life that Christ wants to give us. And we often think that's too good to be true. As I quoted Graham Cook last week, if it is too good to be true, it's only God. Nothing else is true about that. But when we see or hear these possibilities of, I can maybe be free of something. I can maybe own my own home. I can be free from addiction, but not just free from addiction. I can be a successful person in society. Or there's other things. I want to own my home. I want to start my own business. I want to use the gifts God gave me. I want to use them somewhere, and it doesn't seem the doors are opening. There's two voices that will speak into your head. Number one, you were created to experience that, and you will. That's the good report. But the bad report is, you are not able. It will not work for you. Which report will you believe? Whose report? If you feed the negative, it will grow. Can I get an amen from anybody in this house? You feed the positive, it will grow. You see, they all saw the same things, but the 10, they did not just give the facts. Caleb and Joshua didn't even back down. Yeah, there's huge giants in there. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And huge grapes. It's awesome. Yeah, there's huge giants, but we are well able. But what the 10 did, they gave a contagiously bad report. Did you know a bad report is contagious? I don't encourage you to go to your office tomorrow, but go tomorrow and tell a bad report, and it'll be all the way around the company by the end of the day. You tell a good report, it'll probably die on the ears of the person you told. Because we're addicted to negative. We're addicted to clickbait. Turn away, look at this. Instead of giving the facts, they gave a contagiously bad report. 10 men talked 2 million people out of what God said was theirs. Is there somebody in your life today that's trying to talk you out of what God said is yours? And have you turned up the volume on their voice? You see, they gave a contagiously bad report because it is contagious. They gave conclusions they saw, not facts. Be careful of people that give conclusions to what you're going through, because they can be completely convinced and completely wrong. Can I get an amen about your life? You see, they talked about God gave them that land. Grasshopper mentality is contagious. Possessing the land is contagious. But the bad thing about a bad report is, and negative thinking and grasshopper mentality, you pass it down to your children. Then you pass it down to your coworkers. You pass it down to your circle. You pass it down to your boss. That's grasshopper mentality. My parents, I've said it before, Church of God preachers, they weren't of the faith movement, but they knew how to operate in it. I've said it many times, but I say, everybody at school is sick. Because I was hoping I'd get it so I could stay home and lay on my backside and watch bowling. Come on, somebody. Everybody at school is sick. They're just terribly sick. And my mom said, you're not getting it. How do you know I'm not getting it? Well, you're not getting it. I just said you're not getting it. I didn't get it. I said, I'm going to fail this test tomorrow. They said, no, you're not. How do you know I'm not going to fail the test? Because you're going to get in there and study. That's why you're not going to fail it. Negativity is the devil's language spoken by those who have his perspective. We get the enemy's perspective. We begin to speak. There are defining moments. Those spies did not know they were in a defining moment that was going to choose. We don't know we're in a defining moment. I used to keep, my husband and I had this thing. It was me, it wasn't him. But if we got a little bad news, I'd just go pull up, open the drawer. We had like 20 rolls of duct tape. I'm still not sure, and I still have about 10. But I opened the drawer, I'd pull out a roll of duct tape, and I'd just hold up. He goes, you're not going to say anything, are you? And I said, mm-mm. Because he could hold his doubt, but I couldn't hold mine sometime. And I just say, he goes, you really want me to tape your mouth? I said, no. But if I start saying it, do it in love. He said, okay, I got you. And it stopped me from doing it. Can you say amen? You have that 15 seconds to say, will I respond in faith or negativity? Number two, We need to ask God on your screen to reveal crucial moments where you and I have believed a bad report about God's ability in our identity. We need to ask the Lord today, Lord, am I believing something negative about you that is not right and about your ability? And am I believing something about myself and my identity? Those spies saw the same thing, but two of them, Joshua and Caleb, and we'll revisit that in a few weeks, saw something different. In 1950, there was a man who was a janitor, but he had a promise of being a psalmist. He was a black man living in a white ruled world down in this deep south, living what should never happen, prejudice, cleaning a school, but he had a dream that he would be a psalmist. He knew he had a gift, but there was closed doors, and he was asked to go to a church one night. He went to the church. He drove. He used all of his money he had from that week to pay the gas. When he got through, the Lord moved mightily, and he felt a confirmation. But when they gave him a little love offering, it wasn't even enough to cover his gas. And all the way home, he cried, not because of lack of money, but he didn't know how he'd pay his bills because he put gas in his car. And he said to the Lord, I'm done. I really believe I was supposed to bring the sound of joy to a hurting world, but all I did is close doors. And he came into his little modest home. He dropped his keys on the table. He sat down in his chair and he said, I'm done. Anybody ever felt intimidated lately? Anyone ever felt inadequate lately? That's because Ephesians 2 and 10, we'll come back to the man, says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Say, I am his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This man knew he's supposed to walk in some good works, but no doors were opening. You see, Israel was supposed to walk through this door and open through this door that God was opening, but they couldn't hear it. They couldn't see it. And they forgot that bara, create. God has created good works. Your destiny is tied to people, places, and things. You will fulfill it. If you trust in the Lord, it will happen. Somebody give Jesus a big shout of praise. So if you're not careful, Satan will deceive you and sell you a lie to get you to cause you to harm your own self by your own mouth. Job said, does not the ear test words like the mouth tastes food? What does that mean? You ever gone and drank Blinky milk out of your refrigerator? I mean, it's on the verge of mold. Come on, somebody. And it don't matter if King Latifah, I can't think of anybody else, Queen Latifah, anyway. It doesn't matter who is standing by you. Sorry. It doesn't matter who is standing by you. You're going to spit that milk out. Can I get an amen? I was eating at a dignitary dinner one time in Scottsdale, Arizona, 5-star. And I bit into chicken that wasn't done. I was like, God help me. I did everything but wave a banner above me so people wouldn't look. I got to get that thing out of my mouth. Come on, somebody. But do we do it with what we hear? You see, Satan has a counterfeit sound for everything. The snake has the sound of a rattle. A snake got into Chick-fil-A this week, but they got it out. Glory to God. It was only a black snake. Glory to God. It came right in the drive-thru like it thought it owned the place. Come on. Give Tina a hand. I'm sure someone next to her killed it or released it. But those two sounds sound the same. A rattle of a baby's rattle sounds the same. Do not be deceived by the sound of the enemy, the sound of destruction, death. The sound of death to your dreams. Be careful what you are telling yourself and be careful what you're listening to. Brothers and sisters, you were created in God. You are his provision. He has warring angels, but people respond better to flesh and blood the last time I checked. He has mighty, mighty anointed things he can use. You are his first line of defense. Don't belittle what God made in you because you are powerful. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. Start to speak what God speaks over you. On your screen, Isaiah 55 and 11. I love this translation. So shall my word, which goes forth from my mouth, says the Lord, it shall not return to me empty. The reason I speak the word so much and memorize it, because when I speak it, the atmosphere changes. It may take longer depending on the psyche of my mind. Can I get an amen? But it will change. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing. Everyone say accomplishing. What I desire. What God has sent his word to do, and when you speak it, it goes to the heavens and comes back to you and without succeeding in the manner that I sent it. That's why you and I have got to speak the word. Whose report will you believe? I'm going to say what the word says. It is my inheritance. Somebody give him a shout of praise. That's why Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. We used to sing a song, let the poor say, I am rich. Heaven fights for you, and heaven fought for Morris Chapman because heaven knew Morris had something in him. Morris Chapman affected my life. If Tim Cook was here or Kelly Goins, we could tell you stories of being in the presence of Morris Chapman, the African-American that I talked to earlier. And heaven fought for him, and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord moved him and said, Morris, go to your piano. He didn't want to go to his piano. He wanted to resign. You ever been there? I will never. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. All of a sudden, Morris finds himself at the piano, and his fingers are moving even when he doesn't want his fingers to move. Sometimes my praise gets going even when I don't want to praise. Come on. Sometimes when the music gets going, I know I'm like a little choppy, dancy doll. I'm not a doll. I'm a big old woman at 62. But here's the truth of the matter is, when the music comes, sometimes I can't help myself. I didn't go to the club. I love everyone that went. I only learned to dance in the house of God. So when music starts, whether I'm with you or at the house or I'm at the red light, I can't stop it. Because sometimes your praise will get going because your spirit man knows you need to praise God. Morris began to make chords he had never heard. The song began to come off of his fingers. Oh, one time he was singing at a conference that the others I mentioned, others went to, and he just got up in the midst of hundreds. Chris Fernand was there as well. And he was saying, I will run to you in the secret place. I remember your mercy and your grace. But most of all, I want to see your face. By the time he got the second thing, hundreds of worship leaders who thought they had it all together, when I looked up, everybody was on their face because one man had fought the odds and knew what it was to sit there. Because when the chords started going, all of a sudden the words started coming and the Lord said, I'm with you, Morris. Say these words. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord thy God is with you. I am not afraid. I am not dismayed. I'm walking in faith and victory. You know it. For the Lord thy God is with thee. We used to sing it. It is awesome what can happen in tears streaming down his face, his foot heavy on the pedal. He wrote one of the anthems of the church. Doors opened up. He sang all over the world. He was part of Hosanna Integrity until Jesus called him home. Heaven knows how to fight for you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. But God, it's raining. I still want to give you the promise. God, I've got trouble. I still want to give you the promises. But God, I'm old. I still want to give you the promises. But God, I'm young. God sees the provision and the dream and the victory. But the number thing that you have to, one of the things you have to do is you've got to get a vision of where you're going. You've got to see it. You've got to know it. This was God's dream. He wanted to give them a vision of the land. We will never achieve beyond the picture of what we see, the photograph. Why? Because Proverbs 29:18 says, without vision, the people perish. Without vision, you'll become unrestrained. If you don't know who you are and who you want to be, you'll go along with everybody and everything, and you'll lose the vision of who you're supposed to be. God says to us this morning, what kind of vision do you have for your life? And if it doesn't fit into that vision, don't participate in it. Can I get an amen? If it doesn't fit into the vision of who you want to be, see it to do it and be it, but get a photograph. I love Pastor Todd said something about himself Wednesday night when he taught so eloquently, but he said something about when he first came here. I can't remember what he said about himself. It was funny and it was bad, but when he came here all those years ago, he got a picture of what godly men look like, and he decided to be one of those, and here he is today. A picture. We've helped women and men in recovery for years, and I've got to blow past this because I started a little late. That's fine. I wanted the Spirit to move, so we'll see what we can cut out, what we can leave. But we've done something for years called the Esther Project. We'll probably emerge to look different in the future, I believe. But in the Esther Project, we would, and some of these faces will break me, we would put crowns on these beautiful women at a beautiful venue, and many of you helped this, cook them dinner, do things. and we'd put a crown on them to give them a picture of who they can be, a photograph of what would happen in their life. Thank you. The other ones are moving. I'll look at those. A picture. There's Shanice. I could call all their names. Getting a crown on by Pastor Connie. We want to give them a picture of worshiping with the directors of Women and Women of Hope. We want to give them a picture of being crowned. One of those pictures, I believe, that's Wendy Miller being crowned. Give Wendy a hand by Pastor Connie. We wanted to give them a photograph. There's Brooke. We wanted to give them a picture of on your worst day, we showed you what life should be for you. And when it looks opposite to that, get back in the flow of the grace of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. You see, often you think your enemy tells you things, but God told Gideon, go down there, and you can stop the pictures. Thank you so much. Go down there, Gideon, to the enemy's camp. Because I want you to hear what they're saying about you. You are a mighty man of valor, Gideon. And he heard the dream that God gave his enemies. I want to tell you this morning, God is saying to you, your enemy may be telling you you're nobody, but what your enemy fears is that you will walk in your full destiny and you will conquer lands and you will grow up to bring many sons and daughters into the kingdom. Somebody give Jesus praise. You see, you are God's living grape. You are a picture of what people can become. You are. And they say, where did you get that joy? I love it when I'm out with some of my ministry friends and we are laughing so hard. One night this happened with Perry and Pam and Dr. B and a few other ministry people. And we were laughing so hard. It wasn't a place that serves alcohol, but I've been in a place that served alcohol. And I've been sitting with ministry friends and we've been laughing so hard we're snorting. You ever snort? And all of a sudden, a waiter come on. He goes, I just was going to refill your drinks, but I see you're not drinking anything. What's going on here? And one of us will say, oh, we got free of that a long time ago. That's the joy of the Lord. That's the new wine. Come on, somebody. Get a picture of you being free from depression, from alcoholism, from addiction. Get a picture that God says, I have more in mind for you than you can ever imagine. Somebody give him a shout of praise. He wanted them to taste the grapes. He wanted to give a foretaste. A foretaste is, this is the definition, a sample taken in anticipation of something that lies ahead. Now, back in the days when I used to go to Sam's, I don't know if they do this anymore. I don't go back there anymore. I just don't buy in bulk. But I used to take little Christine, she's about 3 or 4, put her in the buggy, and we would circuit ride all through Sam's and just eat appetizers. Come on, somebody. You could get a full meal, little pigs in a blanket over here at the corner, a little spinach quiche over here, a little chocolate cheesecake over here, and they just keep feeding you. You didn't have to go to lunch. You know what I'm talking about? But their hopes were that you would taste it and come by the whole thing. The Lord gives you a taste of peace in this room, a taste of joy in the presence of the Lord, a taste of hope in the sanctuary of God, and he hopes you'll say on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday, Friday, and Saturday, I want all that you're given to me. You gave me a taste and I want it all. Someone say amen. He says, I can because I am Elohim, the creator. I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I am El Shaddai, your source. I can do it all. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future. Amen? Oh, Pastor Rhonda, preach on hell. I will. Hope you'll all come for that. We won't announce it ahead of time. How about that? Preach on judgment. I'm going to see fire come down. Consume everybody in the room. I believe in judgment as much as I believe in mercy. I believe in heaven as much as I believe in hell. But I know one thing, there's a place and a time for everything. As one of my elders who's a real prophet, very few people I call prophet. You may have a gift of prophecy, but he's in the office of prophet. And originally he was at a large thing and someone said, why aren't you calling out everybody's sin? It was a representative. And he said, would you like for me to start with you? First of all, and the guy goes, that's enough. He said, and then he read his mail. I was just going to tell you, dump, 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 dump. I believe in all that. I believe if you don't repent and come to Jesus, you will not go to heaven. I believe in the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, but I need myself a good balance. You know it? I need one. And God was trying to give them a glimpse of his goodness. Everyone say a glimpse of his goodness. He was trying to give them a glimpse, a picture, a taste. We believe in the full gospel of the Word of God. Every word and every line of the Word of God. But in this context, God is saying, I want you to taste and see what I have for you. It is good. The Bible says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. I've told you before, when people wanted me to turn from my evil ways and go back to my husband, they never got to me until someone reached to me in the love of Jesus and loved me in a way I could not turn away from the will of God. The world is looking for a gospel that's authentic, that's real, that's Bible believing, but full of the grace of Jesus Christ. Give him a hand clap of praise. They measured their giants. You thought, okay, well, I just want to know when she's going to preach on hell, because Betty, I ain't going to be here. Come on. I'll preach on it in a way that'll make you know I don't want you to go. They didn't measure it against God who created the world out of his own hands, the God who calls the lightning forth, the God who calls the stars forth, the God who says, he even feeds Job 38. Read it sometime when you're feeling low about yourself. Measure your thing against him. They measured their giants against himself. Job 38, he talks about when the raven, who feeds the raven in the middle of the desert? Who hears the cry of their babies but me and feeds them? That's mind-blowing. That's mind-blowing that a baby raven will cry out to the one I know is Abba. And he will feed them. He who numbers the stars. And the verse on your screen says, because we measure things by ourselves. We measure things by our own will. But Psalms 44:3, see, they were measuring by what they could do. They were measuring by what they can give. But it says, when they conquered the land, once they went in, we'll get into that in a few weeks, they did not conquer the land by sword. It was not their own strength. It was because you, Lord, favored them, and you smiled on them, and you gave them the victory. Sometimes we think, I've got to have it all together. I've got to have the sword. I've got to do this. And God says, all you've got to do is take one step and I'll take two. Somebody give him a hand clap of praise. Josh, come and help me. I'm battling that clock this morning. We'll do what we can. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, are you a grasshopper? Are you a giant killer? Are you a giant killer? Someone just lift your hand and thank the Lord for his goodness to you. Just thank the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy, and who he is. You matter to God. Get a picture of who you are. Never belittle what God has given you. I just took out about 20 pages, and I'll bring them into another sermon in the future. I know you're not worried about time, but God wants to do something in this room. Don't belittle what God has given you. You will hear me say often, and I want you to understand why I say it. Without him, I'm zero. We had a leadership meeting the first night or second night that we'd been here. And when I say leadership, it was the people that were in charge of the stage and charge of bringing things in. It was a group. There's many leader groups. I'm meeting with all of them. But two people, names not mentioned, spoke up to me and thanked me anyway for getting us here and the wisdom to do that. It meant so much to me. It really brought me to tears. I went home and cried pretty hearty about it. But what I said to that group is, and I mean it, without him, I'm zero. I never belittle anything he's given me. I know he's gifted me, and I want you to know he's gifted you. But the difference between humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking more of God and giving him the praise. Grasshoppers say, I'm nothing. Woe is me. Nothing good can happen to me, can happen to everybody else, but I don't have the right DNA. What you need to say is, I am not a grasshopper. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You need to say to your enemy, you need to say out loud, I know who I am. I know who my God is. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He is greater than any dilemma. He is greater than any weakness. He is greater than any obstacle. He is greater than one bad day. He is greater than one bad season. Can I get an amen? He is greater than my past. He is greater if the whole world is against me, and they're not. But I say it for context of the scripture. He is greater if the whole world is against me. He is greater who is for me. Hallelujah! I am not a grasshopper. Humility is lifting God up. You see, number three, we either make ourselves miserable or we make ourselves strong. The amount of work is the same. Choose wisely. You work it just as hard as making yourself miserable. Oh, yeah, you do. There used to be this show. Y'all give me 2 extra minutes if I tell this. Okay, 4 of you did, so I'm going to take 4 times 2, 8 more minutes. I'm just kidding. That's a Pastor Hank joke. When I was growing up, there's this show called Hee Haw. Anybody ever watch it? And there was these men in overalls drinking whiskey bottles, sitting on little cans. And they'd always go to them and they'd sing, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. I can't believe you knew that. Give yourself a hand. That's grasshopper complex. That's grasshopper perfection. There's no easy ride into the promise of God. But if I murmur about what God has blessed me, God takes it as I'm murmuring about him. They're rebuilding this house across the street. Oh, she's going to talk about that house again. No, I'm not. But they inspire me, Pastor Tim. I want to say, what are y'all eating? What are y'all drinking? They're my age, and they're moving this house at lightning speed, and it is fabulous. I want to buy it. It's like a 5-star. Oh, my goodness. But if I'm not careful, I go over there and look in the windows when they leave for the day. They say, we'll show you this when we're done. I thought, don't worry, I'm already looking at it while you go home every day. I'm looking in every window. I know their names. They're my friends. They call me by name. Sometimes when I turn around and head back to my house, I look at my gutters falling off. Badly needed paint. I had to do all my rentals, so I'm going to get to my house eventually. But then I can feel it coming. You ever been there? Murmur, murmur. We pray for that house, but then we murmur about having to clean it. Come on, somebody. We pray for that spouse, but then we murmur about what they are. Ouch. And all of a sudden, I just say, praise you, God, for saying my address. Thank you, God, for my house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this home. Thank you, Lord. Because grasshoppers just complain, and it takes the same work to make yourself miserable and to make yourself in the giant killing mentality of God is with you. Again, I say, don't interview your haters. Don't ask the wrong people. I know better than that. I don't give a microphone. I'm not speaking here. I'm talking about the microphone of my life to people who are not going to speak life into me. Doesn't mean I don't need correction. Doesn't mean I don't need to change. Every week when I go home for my sermon, I sit down and say, okay, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? Please help me. I know I'm not perfect. I'm learning, Lord. Have mercy with me. Show me how to be better. I feel the Lord's so gracious, but I receive his correction. I receive it from my elders. But the problem with you and I is, many times in my life, I put a microphone in the hand of people who saw no good in me, saw no good in my future. They saw nothing good would come out of my life. And we ask them, what do you think about this? And you expect them to build you up? No hater, no enemy, no doubt monger will ever speak life and build you up. Come on, somebody. Give Jesus a hand for that. We're almost done. Let me tell you this, and then we're going to worship for a moment. Grasshoppers see gloom and despair. Giant killers see hope. Grasshoppers have a slave mentality. I'll just take whatever little God gives me. I'll just crawl around on my belly. I used to sing in a trio when I was a teenager. I thought this came out of nowhere because songs just stay with me. It's my way God speaks to me. Someday I'll do a whole message on that, but it'd freak y'all out. But I remember the song that we sang, for such a worm as I. And I thought, why did we ever sing that? Why? We might have been worms when Jesus found us, but we are no longer worms. We are sons and daughters of the Most High, Royal God, who rules the universe. He's in charge. He's got it all in control. He knows how to take care of us. We are not slaves. We are not second-class citizens. We are sons and daughters of God. Someone give him a shout. Grasshoppers talk like victims. He did this to me. She did this to me. Giant Killer said, yeah, I know what they did, but I am more than victorious. I'm not going to camp out at what they did. I'm going to camp out at what God did. Get a picture. Believe in yourself. It doesn't matter what you've lost. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. Get up and live. Get up and live. Life is still good. Life is still awesome. I lost my love of my life. But I determined on the first day, 2.5, almost 3 years ago, that life would still be good. And someday, when I stood before the Lord, that man would see me smiling. And he would hear the Lord say what he always dreamed he would hear the Lord say over me. Well done, good and faithful. Oh, you weren't a pop star. The city didn't rush down Paul Huff to get a glimpse of you. But you did what I called you to do. You got up and lived. Someday I want to be standing before the King when you stand there. And I want to hear him say over you, well done, good and faithful child of God. Well done for stepping in to what I called you to do. I want to say to you this morning, they thought the land would just be given to them. They thought it would just be given to them when they walked in. And when I come back after a few weeks, they saw those big grapes and they saw those big giants. And they thought God would just like, and just like hydroplane them in and kill the giants. How many know it doesn't work that way? It does not work that way. God parted the sea, but Israel had to walk across the dry ground. God lowered the walls of Jericho, but the people of God had to shout first. God took down Goliath, but David had to put his stone in his sling. God puts the grapes within your reach, but he does not put them in your mouth. That's the grapes of your destiny and your purpose. Blind Bartimaeus had to say, have mercy on me. And the man with the withered hand, Jesus said, step forth and now stretch your hand toward me. You take one step, God will take two. You do what you can do, and God will do what only he can do. Someone stand and give him the best praise you've given him this morning. Come on. Come on. Give him the best praise. The best praise. The best praise for who he's made you to be. This morning, as the team would join us, we're going to worship. It's 12:05. I'm just going to worship for a few minutes, but I want to say something to you to end my message. Like I said, I believe in the full counsel of the will of God and the word of God. But I think Psalms 27 sums it so well. I would have despaired unless I had believed to see. Everyone say to see. To see what? The goodness of the Lord. Everyone say the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Say it again. The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We sang this morning, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been good. I want you to do a prayer of committing yourself in just a moment. I want you to give your life. I want you to give him your mouth. I want you to give him your mind and say, enlarge my vision, Lord. I want to say it with you. Show me the photograph of who I'm to be. Let me taste. I've tasted of your joy in this house this morning, and I've tasted of your peace and healing and community. You've given me a taste, so I would long for more when I'm not in here, Lord. And I'd find a way to welcome that into my life all this week. But Lord, I'm asking you right now, I give my life. I don't want to pass down contagious bad reports. Show me where I have been speaking negative things over my life, over my gifts, over my spouse, over my children, over my job, over my gifts. You know what? I'm not Marilyn Hickey. I'm not Joyce Meyer, but I'm going to be the best I can be. You may not be this one or that one. Don't worry about that. No one can do you in the kingdom like you do it. You are a son and daughter of God. You are royally loved. Someone praise him this morning. Hallelujah. Let's just take a moment. We're just going to sing this through and Those that want to, come down. Those that don't, you can stay in your seat. Just come down here and stand, if you would, everybody, just for a moment. Just come and stand just for a moment. Hallelujah. If you need prayer and you didn't get it earlier, just grab someone's hand and ask them to pray for you. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning as we get ready to sing this song of declaration over this message. We don't want to have a grasshopper mentality. Woe is me. We don't want clickbait of the enemy to always drawing us off the page that you've called us to be, Lord. Show us where our mouth has been out of order, Lord. Show us when we've been listening to things we shouldn't be. Show us where we've been giving a microphone to people that should never had a microphone in our life, Lord. We receive correction. We receive rebuke, Lord. But let it be from the right people, the people of faith, Lord. Today, Lord, every man and woman and young person in this room has a destiny just like the children of Israel. They had a geographical land, but we have promises of destiny, of purpose, of prosperity. Lord, you're a good God. No earthly father wants their children to not have their needs met. And you have good things for us today. Let us break out of the mentality of less and walk into the mentality of everything that you've done for us, God. Today, Lord, let us make a new renewal. I want you to repeat after me, Lord, I give my mind, I give my words, I give my life. I repent of a grasshopper mentality. I repent of bad reports that I have spread about myself, about others, about my situation, about circumstances. Today, I want to believe the report of the Lord. Take my words, take my heart, show me how to walk it out in Jesus' name. Whose report will you believe? Let's just sing this before we close. Just to think they'll jump into the chorus. Come on, sing it with them, church, and just worship for a minute. Tell him that he has been faithful to you. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God. Come on, sing it again. All my life, and all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so. And now I want to do something that will reverse anything else. I want you to take the moment while they sing it, and I want you to praise him for the things he's given you, your house, your car. Thank him for the gifts he's given you, the talents. Thank him for the job that you have. Thank him for your family. Thank him for your health. Come on, right where you are. While they sing it, you make that altar to the Lord right where you are.
Every breath that I am in, every breath I will sing of the goodness.
Come on, go ahead and thank him. We're going to sing it again. All my life,
and all my life you have been.
All my life,
and all my life you have been so, so good. And every breath that I am made, I will see of the goodness.
One more time, let's sing it. All my life,
in all my life you have been.
Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for our homes. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our jobs. Thank you for the money that you've given us. Thank you for our health. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for your angels that guard us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in us. We don't want to be a grasshopper, Lord. We want to be a giant killer. We want to walk in your fullness. And sing it, tag it out.
I will see.
Say it one more time.
I will see of the goodness of God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your word that's moved through this room. Thank you for letting me be the lead pastor of these awesome people. You know my heart, Lord, if it wasn't true, I'd be in super big trouble. I'd rather preach to them a pastoral sermon than to preach on any stage in the universe that I'm saying no to right now. I thank you, God, for the most wonderful church. I thank you for these giant killers, Lord. And let our church never have a grasshopper mentality. Let Church of the Harvest have a giant killing mentality. May we never speak a contagiously bad report over our future, but may we see what we cannot see and hear what we do not hear and know that even greater days are coming if we can even believe it than what you've already done. Thank you for the prodigals you're bringing in. Thank you for the whoso. Ever. Thank you for the lives you are restoring. And thank you that freedom reigns in this place. Now give him one more praise, I promise. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord give you peace. May the Lord go with you this week. You are sons and daughters of God. You are not grasshoppers. Go, sons and daughters of God. And do what God's called you to do. Remember this word. It came from my heart. Love you. Hug a neck. Shake a hand. We'll see you Wednesday night.